It was 5 o'clock. I was getting ready for the inventory of the building that was probably going to be my school. I really wanted to own that school. Even if this one is old and run down, I will do my best to renovate it. Being the director of my own school was my dream, and I will still want it, only if the inventory didn't go wrong. I was in my car, ready to go. I had butterflies in my stomach. I started the car. I managed to get out of the garage and was on the way. After around 30 minutes, I arrived. Once there, I stopped in front of an old and rusty closed gate in between two huge trees. The landlord told me not to enter and to stay in front of the gate until he came, so I waited. It was pretty long. The sun was setting, but it wasn't sunset yet. Then I heard the car, the wheels cracking in the sand mixed to the rocks. The landlord had finally arrived. He wasn't alone. He was with his wife and with the lady from the agency, Mrs. Clark. We already had talked all together sometimes. When they got out of the car, we shook hands and kissed. Mr. Stanford took out the key ring where the school keys were hanging from. We got out of to the gate, and Mr. Stanford opened it. It made a horrible noise, the creaking that you hear in all of the horror movies. I had chills for a moment, even though I wasn't that scared. We started walking through the huge playground, walking on the sand path that led to the school's concrete yard. While we walked, I imagined the kids running all around through the whole place, playing hide-and-seek. After a few minutes walking down the long path, we finally arrived to the yard. There was no more green grass, but only concrete. There was a huge bell, of course. It was the one used to call the children to line up. Mr. Stanford took his key ring again, and when he finally found the right key, he opened the main door. I thought that the door would make a sound, but it didn't. We waited until the dog knocked the wall, then we entered. There wasn't any light in the building, and it was starting to get dark outside. Fortunately, we all had flashlights. The first floor was pretty big, huh? But there was only the infirmary and the director's office. We were walking pretty fast. Actually, we were just following Mr. Stanford that hurried upstairs. It was getting darker and darker as we climbed the stairs, which meant that the second floor was in complete darkness. Once we finally climbed all the stairs, we took a moment to take our breath. Mr. Stanford then presented a corridor, indeed very dark, where there were classrooms on the left side and windows on the other side. When Mr. Stanford took a step, we heard a horrible scream coming from downstairs, a woman's scream. We both looked behind us and only saw the numerous stairs that we had just climbed. Where were Mr. Stanford's wife and Mrs. Clark? We looked at each other, very panicked, and we decided to go back down to find out where they were and where that scream came from. Mr. Stanford told me to go down first, as if I were less scared than him. I didn't argue and started to go down, step by step, very slowly, and very afraid of what we were going to find down there. I looked up before coming down the last few stairs and saw a body-like shape on the floor, in the middle of the huge hall. I was so afraid that I turned to look back at Mr. Stanford, but when I turned my head, there was nobody. I didn't know what to do. I was probably now the only survivor in this huge building that appeared to be haunted. My legs couldn't move, neither could my arms, nor could my head. However, my mouth could move, so I called out loud, "Mr. Stanford! Mrs. Clark! Are you there?" I waited. No answer. I called again, "Mrs. Clark! Mrs. Stanford! Mrs. Stanford!" Still no answer, but a strong cold wind came from nowhere, pushing me forward and making me fall down these last few steps that I wasn't able to go down. I stood up, a little hurt because my head hit the floor. The wind kept blowing, blowing, blowing. We were still from nowhere. I knew that it wasn't possible for wind to enter the building because Mr. Stanford told me that all the windows and doors were locked. Furthermore, we were in summer. No summer wind could be that cold. I was starting to wonder if that wind was controlled by something supernatural, but I told myself that I was starting to become crazy. Stronger and stronger, the wind seemed to push me to the body lying on the floor. Once I was less than one step from the body, the wind finally stopped blowing. All of my limbs were shaking. I was so scared. The body was turned, showing me its back. to see whom it was. I tried to turn it back. It was a bit heavy, which meant that it could not be a woman. I continued to turn the body over. Then, when it was on the back, I looked at his face. You would never believe what I saw. Just here, at this exact moment, was laying the head and bird body of my father. Then suddenly, my mind hurt me very much. I remembered that my father taught in that school there had been a fire and he was the only one that did not survive. That is why the building had burned walls and no more doors. I didn't think about that when I first saw it, probably because I tried so hard to forget those horrible memories of my father's death. I was staring at this ugly burned body and couldn't move. Then something hit me very hard. I could not figure out what it was, but I can surely remember a cold voice saying, "Look, I am your father's ghost."